Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Genesis chapter 12. It's very easy for us as New Testament believers to want to capture the things that the Lord wants to do with us out of spontaneity. Spontaneity, you just come into that spontaneous flow of the Spirit, and there is a place for that. I was in a meeting with my wife last night at Pastor Zach's church. They were doing their fourth convention as a church, fourth anniversary. I was there, saw Sheyi, Adefemi, Pastor, I was there earlier in the day. And can I say this to you? Like, I was sharing with my wife around 12 a.m. last night because we didn't sleep on time. I needed to eat. Yes. So, and it's been a while I ate Eba, like about 2 years. Wow. So I told my wife, tonight feels, after this kind of anointing, it's only Eba that can bring me back to speed. I told her, please, I don't know how we're going to do it, but it was okra and you know, it's kind of laced with all kind of stuff, you know. So there are some kind of anointing. I call them heavy duty because I was not supposed to preach in that meeting. Actually, I didn't preach, but they had asked me to come. And as my brother, I decided to show up. Then as Sheyi was, done, Miss Sheyi used to be my assistant when we were in Feka. And he kept referring to me during his message. And every time he referred to me, he kept saying, prophet, prophet, prophet. You see, maybe he didn't know what he was doing. Or maybe the people didn't know what he was doing. But by referring to me like that, he was awakening that part of me that wanted to sleep. The Bible says, Paul teaching, say you must acknowledge the gift of God that is in you by the laying of hands. So the acknowledgement is a trigger when God has made you a particular thing, but you choose not to recognize yourself by that status, you do not acknowledge that gift. By that, the gift cannot awaken. Or the gift cannot awaken to its full force. Are you hearing me? Now, he was using the principle, even though I was not really thinking I was going to come up and do anything. Then Sheyi made a statement and said, did you notice that as I kept calling him Prophet Shafe, Prophet Shafe, he didn't blink, he was just looking at me. Say it was some people, he said, he's God's glory, he's the glory of God. Yes, it's the glory of God, but he wasn't lying. So after the meeting, after he had finished preaching, so I came up. But you see, because the atmosphere was already triggered, that woman came to Jesus and she said, if you can but just heal my child, she's possessed of it. Jesus said, I don't minister to unbelievers. When he called her a dog, what he was calling her was an unbeliever. I don't pray for unbelievers. I've not finished praying for those who are coming to church. You say, ah, no. The woman said, but even those who stay around long enough get to touch the crumbs. Jesus said, this is faith. She pulled a side of him saying, if you choose to, you can do it. There is a dimension, that God dimension, that you must know how to plug into by saying, sir, I am not worthy, but if you choose, I know you can do it. All I am asking is, please change your mind. And there have been situations where God had to change his mind. There have been situations where men had to change God's mind. Like Moses. So God is not just some random guy that you can't talk to. Who is all powerful and all loaded. God will allow you to contribute. And we will both get to the answer. Abraham, I want to destroy Sodom. What do you think? If you find 50. God knew what he was going to do. But he allowed a discussion. Peradventure, somebody can make him see something else. Even though he has seen all the sights. Or like Moses, who said, God, if you kill these people, remove my name from the book of life. And God stayed his hand because of Moses. God's mind was made up. But at some point in destiny, in nature, one man held God's hand. You will not kill them. And God saw the value of Moses as being higher than the value of those people. So because of the life of Moses, he preserved the people. How valuable can your life be that because of you, God will hearken to you and then say, okay, let that idiot continue to live. I'm saying this so that you can appreciate that much of the things we put on God and say depends on God actually depends on you. How close you are to God, how intimate you are with God, it's not God, it's you. How powerful and anointed that you are, it's not God, it's you. If you stay close to the fire, you will smell smoke. Are you hearing me? How much weight of glory God can bestow on you depends on how long Joshua is willing to stay on the mountain. There were leaders, there were 70 men, there were other people who were loaded and anointed, but they chose to stay with the people. And because the day they chose to stay with the people was the day Aaron backslided. So they all went with the error. The man that stayed at the foot of the mountain, even though Moses gave clear instruction, nobody should come. I'm saying to you that your future is in your hands. Genesis chapter 12. This is still the part three of taking new territories. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from where? Thy father's house, and you underline that. Unto a land that I will show thee. They didn't know where the land was. They didn't know where that land was. Now, the first thing I want you to get from this is that revelation is progressive. God will never give you any information 100%. As you begin to obey and align, you will be getting more information. God can call you to start something very small. But in God's mind, he's looking at a global enterprise. But if you do not have enough sense to think that God, who is a big God, can never start anything small. The thing can start small. The goal is not small. It's humongous. Is humongous. That God in his nature, when he's doing stuff, he does it according to his own level, not yours. I don't know if you are hearing me. So if you don't understand this, you won't know that God's revelation is progressing. You won't be hounding God. God, tell me more. I want to hear more. Speak to me, Lord. God said, I said, leave your father's house. How is that supposed to be a revelation? He said, to a land that I will show thee. So that revelation is progressive. As you obey, I will tell you more. If you don't take the first step, you hear nothing. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make thy name great, and you shall be a blessing. You cannot divulge the plan of God for your life from prosperity. Are you hearing me? You cannot divulge the plan of God for your life from prosperity. It wasn't Abraham. Abraham was not broke when God called him. Actually, he was a rich guy. He was the son of a rich man. But when you begin to hear God say, I will bless you, then you begin to ask, what is God's definition of blessing? That this guy who has maybe like limited liability company, PLC, just for his father to die and inherits everything. And then God is saying, I want to bless you. Sorry, sir. When God speaks, he speaks after his own level. You have to understand that. What you call blessing is in Naira. What God calls blessing is in his own realm. The things that the elders see and they remove their crown and fall flat is what God is calling blessing. The things that they see of him and they remove their crown, that we are no more kings. We are no more kings. You are the only king. You are the only elder. You are the ancient of days. Yeah, holy, holy, holy. Whatever it is that they saw, it's what God meant when he said, I will bless you. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Not that I will bless you. You move from being blessed to becoming a blessing. That promise in verse 2, consequent upon verse 1. entering into progressive revelation. If you follow me blindly, that's what God is saying. If you follow me blindly, you don't owe any man any explanation. You don't just walk. Just know that for the better part of your life, people will say you are mad. Just know. Then be walking. Madman Incorporated. Say, but if you can stand the shame of being mad, that's your destiny. Verse 3. And I'll bless them that bless you, and I will curse him that curse you, and indeed all the families of the earth. Now, this is a good place to be, where you don't really have to shout, fire, die, fire, die, fire, die. All you have to do is fire a missile at me, and somebody in your house is dying right away. You see, this is your insurance policy for protection. Hello? This is your what? Your insurance policy for protection. That God says, as long as you follow me progressively as I lead you, if any man raises a finger against you, without you saying anything, heaven will backfire on that person. The devil knows you are not convinced, and he can see it in your fear. The devil knows. You know, he has been around for a long time. He has done the mathematics. He has invented instrument that measures fear. He can see that this one, the way she's praying and vibrating, it is fear. There is no persuasion. Our generation is so high on revelation, but very low on persuasion. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very high on revelation, but very low on doctrine. We don't believe nothing. It's just about who can say what in a smart way and hoop up the crowd and people feel you are accurate. You can your spiritual level is not what you preach. It's what you live. You understand? Anybody can listen to a message and be whooping like a parrot and shouting. But when we get to BT Oju Olomo Otito, you know what that means? When you get... I want to interpret this one. I don't want to pass it by. I want to interpret this one. When you get to that... Imushi, when you want to fight, when do you want to fight? And they are doing like this. And I say, okay, come on, let's go to another place where nobody will separate us. Where I would have killed you before your mommy... Don't worry, you, God will help you, sir. You will learn this language. That place where when you are fighting, they'll just be hearing breaking and busting bottles. Before they come and say, who is fighting? They have killed somebody. He's saying, you or the family. Now, excuse me, God is talking to just one man. One. God. Because I looked at him and I'm asking, I say, my generation, we are lost. If this man got born again late in his life and then could sit down with an entire book, 60-something chapters, and you will see it is reflective of the kind of church he comes from. In a place like Winner's Church, you are taught to, it's not to say the word is in the spirit realm. You will put it inside your head first. It has to be in your head before your heart. You will be quoting it. It's not right that they ask you where is the chapter and verse. Okay, I have you plenty here. Those were the disciplines they gave to us when we came. But now I have so much. There's a dimension of the spirit. We are talking stuff, but we are not seeing nothing. No demon is moving. I say your level is not what you preach. Now, Abraham departed in verse 4. As the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, he was 75 years old. And Abraham took Sarah and Lot, blah, blah, blah. And after they got to Shechem, in verse 7, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, unto your seed will I give this land, and he built an altar. Now, I want you to see blueprints of taking territories here. As he progressed in his revelation, the Lord was speaking to him. Now, when he got to Canaan, he came in as a stranger. Are you with me? He came in as a stranger, but he had received a word from the Lord that this is the place I will give to you. What did he do? He raised an altar to the Lord. You have to learn how to take a place spiritually first before you can take it physically. Thank God for planning. Thank God for money. Thank God for resources. If you do not learn how, and the only way to learn how is to take one first. If you don't learn how to take one first, you don't know it. It's still theory. There are people that I call theoretical Christians. Theoretical. They can wow you. They can tell you what the Bible is saying. The healing, prosperity, tell you all kind of stuff. But their life is exact opposite. But they have all the facts. There are people who don't know those Greek and Hebrew. But when you look at them, you don't need to ask. You know this one knows what he's saying. The Bible said he built an altar to the Lord who appeared to him. You must learn how to raise altars where the Lord has spoken. If the Lord is sending you to a new territory, let me tell you, when this church was going to start, on a particular Sunday, so that's what I used to do. You know, there was no service. We were preparing for service. There was no member. I wasn't even sure my wife was going to come. So I would wake up Sunday morning and go to Pastor Desmond's house where my wife, I drop them off. They attend service. Then from, I'll wear slippers. From Friday, they're under the bridge. I'll begin to trek to Ilukweju. Mambra, Shitla, Ta, Sakata. Sweating. Sweating in that early morning sun. Barakata, Dekato, Shata. Now when I got to Ilukweju Bridge, I will now stand upon that bridge. Then I will lift my hands over Ilukweju. Bara. And people will be passing, walking past me like, he mad. You know, because I wasn't even properly dressed. I dressed for the occasion. It was a prayer walk. So it's not trying to look fine. There's no look fine. When the rubber is the road, we'll know. But right now, we need to. I realized that I needed to, if you don't have anyone to depend on, my brother, learn this thing I'm telling you. Learn how to use your feet to take territories. There was no thunder in the sky. There was no mambrakadabala. My son, I have listened to all your cries. There was no shout, no nothing. It was just me there, dressed casually with bedroom slippers. That kind of is not fine slipper. You look for bedroom because your leg will pain you. At some point, you remove your shoe. God will say, take off your shoe. Now stretch your hands over Ilukweju. And I was doing that foolishly. I raised an altar on that overhead bridge to the Lord. I said, God, I don't know where this work is going to go. I have signed myself to faith that you have finished me finally. But I have agreed. And we are going to do this till I die. So I lift up Ilukweju to you. From Fadeyi all the way down. Mistake I made, I should have just checked to Maryland. But my brother, even that one I checked, all my joints. I used to do more than that when I was poor. But when you are rich, your bone will adjust. It's easy to read the story of Abraham and think he was just taking a stroll to the back of your house. It was a long walk, brother. Enough time for him to turn back. Like if they ask him, sorry, uncle. Yeah, Lord, how far? Sorry, this place you say we are going. What really is the thing? And you know that your answer will sound stupid. He said, don't worry, we're on course. But you know that you are not on course. That the only evidence for your journey is the prophecy you received. And if that is not good enough for you, you are not on a journey. If the word you received is not good enough for you, if you are waiting for one kind of confirmation that will prove to you that God actually spoke to you, you are not on a journey. Because the journey will be laced with many trials. Many times we have to walk in the dark. Shortly before church started, I had to pay a bill of about 500,000 because our car was involved in an accident. So God made sure that I was at my lowest ebb. There was no cash anywhere to be thrown out. People thought it was bank money. Which bank? I was finished. Physically, financially, psychologically. There were bills to pay. And I said, God, this is wrong time. God says, March 1. March 1, start. We paid for the first Sunday. Paid for the second Sunday. Then the old manager called me and said, no, you need to pay for a full month. Because I told him, I said, we're a thriving church. The man said, are you sure? He said, because the man we just sent out of here told us his church is a mega church. And for 3 years they were here, there were no more than four people. Mega. As at that time, I could not even... Okay, my wife, Joshua, Isabella, 4:4:4. We are like 4:2 now. Ah. So somewhere in my mind, like, say the man, you know, I just told him, he said, even though it was pain, I had to advise him, like, go and be doing this in your house. That this 40,000 every week, 50,000, you know, you can save it. Save it. I said, don't worry, we are not in that level. We are not in that level. God will allow people to come and taunt you. He will allow it. Everything is to bring you to that point where you are fully persuaded. The persuasion first must be with you. It's not just in ministry. In anything the Lord lays upon your heart, just get ready that even the most anointed people may not believe you. Just get ready. So you are responsible for your prophecy. If God said something to you, don't abdicate your responsibility to somebody else. I'm saying because so person, is it the person that heard God for you? If you stand before God, you now say it was the woman. Excuse me, I gave you the garden. That's why I always preach and I teach. If you say you are, I know in Nigeria, it's only in Africa that our things are upside down. In the US, when you are angry with your wife, you are the one that will pack and leave the house. You didn't know that one. In the US, in London, I quit. Just walk away. Leave everything. Do you notice that even in court divorce cases, they normally give the house to the woman? Because the woman is the owner of the house. It is the husband that will leave his father and his mother, not the woman. That's why if you marry an Igbo woman and say Yoruba man, except you beg her, all your children will speak Igbo. If you like, pray, fast, go to Ailala, go to Amadioa. There is not, if that your wife, if Tobe decides in her mind that this children will not hear Yoruba, sincerely, go and pray. You have lost. Because when she's carrying them, she'll be singing Igbo songs to them. And you, Olo Igbo, you come back, hey, hello, hi, good morning, how's she? Hope you slept well. You're already losing the battle. You're losing the battle. Just be speaking that your English. There was a reason why they chose those Hebrew boys and say, teach them the language of the Chaldeans. Because whatever, if you can reconfigure your language, then we can synchronize you to our software. Are you hearing me? That's why you want to operate certain systems. They will tell you this Java is not upgraded. There are certain applications I used to use on my... They changed my computer recently in the office to one supercomputer. I asked them, I said, so you people know I'm in this office. You now brought... I'm about to leave. You people now gave me this fine computer. Everybody like, oh boy. Even my boss came. Is this the computer they sent you? I said, hey, it's my own. It's my own. Just forget about it. Don't even go there. I know you. I know your heart. Very soon you will say he's the head of the unit that should go and apply for you. That computer is so sweet. You just you are just filling the keys. And you know, they even gave me internet. I didn't tell anybody. If I put Yahoo like this, and they see everything. I even had enough time to reactivate my Twitter account. My Twitter account that died since 1840. I reactivated it. I just told my IT officer, he said, oh boy, they gave you internet. I said, God is seeing our heart as we are walking in this place. He sent me a mail on my Yahoo, I'll see it. Send me Gmail, send me everything, even Twitter. I even posted, guess who's back? Oh boy. He says the computer. They were supposed to send two, one for you. One. I said, I don't know, this is my own. No, I just had my computer. I better go. Give me a chance. Oh, boy. You won't understand. My brother, I had one system. If I press F2, it will first travel. By the time he comes back, the boss has left. Every time God says something to you, the first spiritual sense you should borrow is to raise an altar. Because you know one thing about an altar, nobody dismantles altars. You hear what I just said? That sometimes, forget about even sometimes, when Jesus came to the well that Jacob dug, everybody knew it was the well Jacob dog. They made reference to it years after Jacob had died. And that was the sitting point for a revival for a woman who had six husbands. When they raised altars, everywhere Abraham heard God and he had an encounter, he raised altars. They didn't dismantle the altar after the encounter. They left it there as a memorial that somebody had touched God. Because even if you are climbing the mountain and you fell, you cannot fall beyond the last place you raised a monument for God. Because one of the things that characterizes altars are covenants. God, I still don't know how to get to where you are talking to me about. But on this spot, you said to me again that you will give me a name and make me great. I raise an altar to worship you because of this revelation. Knowing that he who said it is able to bring it to pass. You raise an altar, then you move beyond it. Even if you now fell from the mountain, you cannot fall below that last point that you raised an altar. That's why you see certain people, they have some challenges. They fall and they fall so flat, they can't even get up anymore. I'm going to ask you, what happened? My brother, in your journey, you must learn how to raise altars. God will not teach you that one. That's why Abraham is in the Bible. I say you can deliberately plan your steps. You can order your steps before the Lord. You can take deliberate steps to prosperity, to destiny. It's not just all about God saying, hey, Oga, do you know how many fires God has to check every day? You better read that book. Oh. Read that book in your hand. Read that Bible in your hand. Everything you need. Your destiny is represented by one person, at least one person in the Bible. Verse 8. And he removed from thence. He built an altar again. See this man, he likes building altars. You see, there's something about when you have to journey with God and you don't have anything to fall back on. You'll be serious. You understand what I'm saying? This guy had nothing. So, by every revelation, Bethel means the house of God. By every revelation, he was raising altars. Because he didn't have anything to fall back on. He didn't have anybody who has been like this before and he could ask for advice. But there's something, look for that place where Terah, where they mentioned his father, Terah. Is it chapter 11? Verse 11. No, it should be somewhere after, not that particular one. There's a particular verse, I don't know if it's this Bible version, this Bible I'm using, about and Terah went out of all of Chaldeans. Is it chapter 11? Now, in verse 31, chapter 11 and verse 31. And Terah took his son and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son, Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from all of the Chaldeans into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. Excuse me, who did God call? Who did God call? Who did God tell to leave Hor and move to Canaan? Who moved first? There are spiritual hijackers that you must be careful of. Hello? Look at that scripture. And Terah took Abraham. People who want to understand your prophecy more than you. It was you God spoke to. Then I want to lead you. Say he took. Come. Tina, come. It was you God spoke to. You now share it with them. Then I say, come, let me show you. You that cannot hear God for yourself before. God now spoke now. Then I want to guide you. Say, and he took Abraham, his son. I'm your father. You that cannot hear God, wants to lead me, that can hear God. He took Abraham, his son. He now gathered other people for validation. Please sit. You have to be careful of spiritual hijackers. People that want to tell you what the vision should look like, what your ministry should look like. If your ministry was supposed to look like Harvest World, then there was no need for God to call you. This is a template we are running. If God wanted us to look like this style, all of us should just close shop and go there. It's a difference. Because every local assembly that God starts must mirror a nature of God. It must mirror a particular nature of God. It must mirror a particular nature of God. So there's no base for comparison between two churches. Find the one that aligns with your DNA, with your tribe, your spiritual tribe, and stay there. The Bible said he took his daughter-in-law, Sarah, and they went forth from all of the Chaldeans to go into Canaan. So he bought into the vision that was not his own. So God had to kill him. Unfortunately, you see, when the vision is not yours, you can only go as far as you can go. Are you hearing me? Because the template was not originally yours, you will find one Aaron somewhere and tabernacle there. The Bible says when they came to Aaron, they dwelt there. Because the vision was not his, he can only go as far. He can only go as far as his safety is guaranteed. If you want to take territories in 2019, watch out for people who try to understand your vision more than you. Because you're asking, sorry, what did God tell you? He said, no, but you are saying it, I'm seeing it. You're not seeing nothing, brother. You're not seeing nothing, brother. Some of these people, they will not tell you don't go, but they will try to morph the template the Lord is giving to you to reflect something that they can validate. No, sir. You don't understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like you understand. There are people that when you tell them, see, by default, if you tell me something, I'll probably look at it from either a prophetic angle or maybe from a pastoral. So I might have some bias. So it's very hard for me, except where the Lord... Yesterday, we were in Zach's church. Now, if you've been to Zach's church before, you can tell the average nature of the people who are in that church. But as I came up, I began to prophesy about a lady that had left. I said, there's someone here, you've traveled out of the country, and they had to bring you back. You had to rush back into the country because things did not work out the way you thought you were going to. Things were going to go when you traveled out. And you are practically like bundled back into the country. I said, Lord asked me to pray for you. When I gave that prophecy, I knew it was a lie. Because I know most everybody in that church. And I know nobody traveled out. This tall, fine lady walked out from the congregation. Then Pastor Zach said, let me say something. He said, I met this lady on Facebook. He said, I didn't speak to Pastor. He said, so just listen to what he's telling you. And I began to prophesy about where she has been in her past. And I began to talk about what God was about to do in her life. And how God, you know, it's just beautiful how God can order your steps into a place. Nobody knows you, but he has a message waiting for you. So I said, when you come, she's wearing black shirt with white. Then she's very tall. She's dark. Her name is YMC. So you just say, why? I'm hearing why. Okay. When you are just yem. When you are learning ABC or prophetic, we allow you. But at some level, If the Lord is telling me, and I'm not sure, I will tell you I'm not sure, but this is what I'm sensing. I will tell you. You can't crucify me. I already told you I'm not sure. But it was just amazing how God could single out a lady who came to that meeting looking for answers. And she was there at the back. And I described her accurately. Now, when we finished the service, I just walked out. I didn't want her to talk to me. So that I won't feel the need to want to be hearing God. I've shut down. When I'm tired, I don't respond well. You can ask my wife. Because she's always, she can do VG for Africa. When she wants to talk in the middle of the night, I say, MJ, I'm not there. My brain has shut down since 10 o'clock. My brain works with the sun. It's just me. I don't know how God did it. It's just me. And some of you are like that. You are, if, no matter what you do in the office during the day, you can still work at night. My wife is like that. Me, I love my bed. Once I hold, the way I hold that bed, you know, I when I see, there was a day my wife took a picture. I and Joshua slept on the floor. Remember that picture? And we all slept in the same way like this. Sincerely, to God with me. My wife just took the picture that, look at yourself. Look at yourself. Like we slept the same position, cornered our leg the same way, and we're on the rug like that. I said, oh my God, this boy is truly my son. You don't need DNA test. One of the mistakes I could have made was say, see me after the service. And then try to begin to interpret. We prophesy in part. I only said what I was allowed evidence or trance into. After that one, I've moved on. That one revelation, you progress with it and raise an altar to God. That's the one most of you don't want. You now want the prophet to now stay in the spirit. On top of how much? To now stay in the spirit. Yes, I'm not seeing you in Dakar, Senegal. Sorry, sir. Do you see me in London? I say, no. I'm seeing you in Dakar. No, sir. That Dakar was 10 years ago. I'm not doing Dakar again. Is it South Africa or London or Australia? Say no. There's one other country. Where's Chad? Where's Chad? I say, Pastor. Pastor, see well. They practically start begging you. Pastor, see well. See, Pastor, I don't want to go back to my past. I say, it's not me. It's what I'm seeing. So before you turn yourself to a terror, hijacking people's destiny, do what is given to you and step out. Don't try to understand your prophecy more than the revelation that is available. Don't try to understand your prophecy more than the revelation that is available. Walk with God time by time. Walk with the grace that is available per now. And so I was ministering, and we were ministering to people. I was facing the congregation, and then I turned. And then I, as though, was going to head back towards the pulpit, and I lifted my hands, and then I screamed, and I pulled it back. The moment I turned, and I did something, it was as though I dipped my hand into life. You know when you have water that is connected to electricity? When you put live wire inside water, I was practically, physically electrocuted. I just faced the altar and I did like this. As though I put my hand into, I screamed and I pulled it back. And I brought it out. It was vibrating. And God told me, few minutes. Anybody who is sick, few minutes. I just said, if you are sick, come. There was no prayer. They just somersaulted with that wave of the hand. It was just a few minutes. It was a moment of quickly, get it done. And as I was touching people, it began to wane. And I told God, I said, I'll keep small for my wife. I can still feel that small surge in this right hand right now. Right now, I'm not joking. I can still feel it right now. It's not so heavy like it was, but I'm still feeling that tingling. Understand how to capture moments. And only understand based on what is available to you. Don't try to overpress. Press. You will press into error. Don't press into error. Certain things will open up as you continue to align and obey. Let me quickly round up. You need to understand that when God calls you on an assignment, He will call you as though you have already fulfilled it. When they journeyed into Egypt in that same chapter 12, and then they took Abraham's wife. Some people expect that when God speaks to you, you should 100% mirror the prophecy. But God allows for deviations. In mathematics, Father Mass, we have something called deviation. God factored your deviation. God knows your weakness. God knows everything. God knows that you're a serial liar. He knows. He knows. And he has factored it. Because he knows Abraham will lie. Anything that involves his wife, he will lie. And I hope you know that Isaac also lied. You know Jacob lied. It was in their family genetics. They are serial liars, especially when it has to do with women. And all of them married fair women. They have this thing for yellow. Yellow, yellow. Not fair. Yellow women. Yellow women. And when you look at their wives from afar, you know that is Isaac's wife. So you cannot but lie. Because your statistics do not match somebody who is qualified for a woman like this. They had to bring that woman on a camel to him. That's like bringing a limousine to pick your wife to meet with you. So that the woman will know that whoever is on the other side, that young guy is worth it. I will love you. Why not? Use the limousine to come and carry me. I will love you. They say you're also a worker in your church. I have loved you. Some of you want to propose to a lady. You wear bedroom slippers. Look, we did that. It was God's mercy that helped us. Don't try it. Go and borrow camels. Huh? Go and borrow limousines. That was their limousine in those days. Let her know that if nothing, you have taste. You have taste. That if I have money, you will see it. You may not have all the money, but have good sense of combination. Don't wear yellow and black and red and all. Say, have your style. That one, nobody will teach you. Have your own style. Isaac stayed at home. They went to bring the wife. It was his father's prophecy that he fulfilled that was talking. It was his father's money he was spending. Isaac didn't have to take a journey. But his father took a journey and he became a beneficiary of the blessing. So Isaac can cross his leg. They will go and bring wife. Abraham cannot try it.
Yes.
All this issue about obeying God, aligning and fulfilling, is so that your children will not go through some things.
Yes.
Who told you God's blessing is not generational? Who told you? Who told you? Who told you? Who told you? You think the way you are is the way your children come and walk?
Yes.
When my father died, my father can leave his children hungry. My father doesn't believe in buying clothes. Any clothes you saw us wearing, it was my mom. If you want to drink coffee, it's not at home. My father's office. Because my dad keeps coffee, milk, biscuits, all those stuff in his office in university. You won't see it at home. If you have a problem, you want to talk to my dad, don't talk about it at home. Go to his office like you have an appointment. When I get to his office, his secretary was Mr. Shaibu. Oh, Mr. Shaibu, how are you going? Is daddy in? Yeah. I just going. Daddy, yes? We are back from school. Daddy, I want to take some coffee. I already know how to operate it. Sit down. He has a set of chairs separate from where his office desk is. I'll just land there. I'll be eating. My staff will come join me. Hey, Tolu, how are you? Hey. We are waiting for him to close. So we'll be eating, enjoying, jumping up and down. His office space, my dad's office space was like this compound. Inside the university. In ATBU. My dad was using his salary to help other people. He didn't bring it home. My mom was so, I've never seen a more angry woman. My dad would come home and eat, carry his own salary, we share it. We didn't have clothes, we didn't have nothing. He would share it, solve this woman's problem, carry all the money, take it to refugee camp. My dad was not born again. Refugee camp, you know, in those days of crisis in the north, refugee camp in Bauchi, Bible Society, he would just say, let's use this money and publish Bible. My brother, when my father died, my brother did not pay school fees again. Some of the people he helped who became professors. No, don't live on campus. Come and live in our house. It was one of them that signed as my guarantor when I became a banker in Oceanic Bank. Say, don't worry. I signed. There are certain, so we don't, so it's like this man no, he won't stay long. So he was sowing into the future for the children. Sowing into the future. One of my customers that came and wanted to make a big mess in my office several years ago. I want to close my account. You stupid people. Made a lot of noise. And I saw his name and I said, sorry, sir, are you from Delta State? He said, yes. I said, wow. I said, my dad grew up there and he speaks the language. He said, oh, really? What's your dad's name? He said, what school did he go to? I said, James Welch, MFO. I knew the, you know, we talked, so I knew even how the school my dad went to. He said, oh, really? I was a graduate. What's your dad's name? I told him. See, your dad was my senior. His younger brother was my classmate. For real? We used to have this association thing in Lekki, you know. Talking. You know what? I'll not close that account again. Just paid him 1 million. On the spot. They carried my name to head office. Carried it to MD. Nobody, they thought it was customer service work that gave me that money. It was relationship. What my father did when he was a student in secondary school that nobody knew anything. One man said, I know your dad. The first set of James Welch MFO. I said, grammar school. Oh, wow. Say, well, you come around, you know, we have some of this meeting in Lekki. The man was a director in one of these Shell companies. Shell, oil and gas. The man just, you are praying, Father, do it. The man just because of my father's name wrote a check of 1 million. Say, that account I want to close. Pay it into it. There's this thing we are begging you to understand. It's not just you. It's your children. You know what I'm saying? It's your children. Eventually, my father will later come to know the Lord. Eventually, he came to know the Lord. Don't despise all these spiritual strategies. You watch out for spiritual hijackers. When you are beginning to share a vision on people and they want to understand the vision more than you, just tag them. Hijackers. It was God. It was Abraham God spoke to. It was Terah who moved first. Watch out. Everybody that tries to get his validation on spiritual revelation alone is a fake person. Let me repeat. Everybody that tries to get his spiritual revelation alone, the reason why I'm doing this thing is only because this thing. See, let me tell you, Abraham counted the cost too. Yes, you can't go on that journey without losing your mind. You count the cost. You ask yourself, how passionate are you about this issue of your own destiny? How passionate are you? How much energy do you have on this issue of what God has required of your life? So if God has called you to be a music minister, it's God that will go to studio for you and beat drum and mix sound and do everything for you. Then they will not put your face on the cover of the CD. It's God. Watch out for people. And it is always people that are close to you. Yeah. It's always people that are close to you. Who try to tell you that, Shay, you know I know you. Not people that tell you, Shay, you know I know you. You don't know me. Yeah. What you know is the part of me I allow you to see. Yeah. How do you explain? Someone comes to the bank and just say, how are you? Give me your hand, Agnes. What's up? You are sick? Don't worry. Be strong. Now I'm acting a sin. Be strong. Don't worry. You are healed. If you don't even learn how to heal people without shouting in Jesus' name. You see, because in Jesus' name it's a program. It's a spiritual wiring. It's not just calling it that makes it effective. It is the spirit of that name in you. The coding. It's a coding and encoding. I will write my name upon and my laws upon their heart. When you are speaking from that place of wiring, you are looking at people. You don't even have to say, just say, be healed. Be healed. Want some water? Take some water. And then it's best, thank you. Now I actually feel better. It's nothing. In the banking, no. You walk away like nothing happened. Like nothing happened. Or if you get a call from somebody, you have never spoken to the person before. And the person I talk and you're saying, wait, I'm seeing you in social location. Okay, so how do you know? You have to bypass all these mental blocks by laying hold of the gift of God that is in you. The devil cannot be after you and you're also despising your gift. Hey. You now join tag team with the devil on your own matter. Whoever goes into the boxing ring to box himself. Shall I box myself? Nobody box himself. Nobody hits himself in a world fight. Why do you box yourself to come out? The devil has not even started on you. You box yourself. You've told yourself you can't do it. You've told yourself you are not worthy. When they decided in heaven that it was you, who called you? Heaven made a decision on you. You are here talking about you can't do it. Do you know how many times God kept saying to Joshua, be courageous? Because he knows the boy can run away. Be courageous. Be of good cheer. Be courageous. Be courageous. You can do it. Because if God gives you Moses and say, wear it, you will run away. Say, yeah, wear this. You try it. Sir. I can serve under anybody. Choose anybody. I will work with them. I'll be faithful to them as I was faithful to Moses. It's not all those fake spirituality. God say it is you. You know, sir, I was not among the 70. Then the other time, you know, me, I just used to clean his shoes. I don't really know much about all these things. I just try to assist. I don't know much. Even God. If God laughs, you will think it's not God that is talking. So God will look very serious. But it's fine. I say, look, I'm away. You go walk. You never do anything. Then God will ask you, address the people. Men and brethren, God is still with us. God is laughing. Say, see this one. You never know until you enter. God is with us. I don't want you to be discouraged, even though Moses, our father, is gone. But God is with us. We will get to Cana. You know the question people ask is that, if Moses didn't get to Cana, who? Take ownership of your prophecy. Take ownership. It's yours. Take it. Let's not go into 2019 and be expecting mistake to happen. No. We can, by the word of God, this written word, plan out a deliberate path for ourselves. Deliberate. The Lord will give us wisdom. The Lord will give us wisdom. If you ask Abraham, are you a prophet? What will he tell you? He say no. But when God showed up in that king's house, say, thou art a dead man. How do you say that in Hausa? Help me. How do you say that in Hausa? Thou, say it in King James, Hausa. What's the closest to King James in Hausa? Just tell me something. There's a vibe I'm looking for. How would you say that if it was in Hausa? Come on, help me, brother. David. No, we didn't hear that.
Kaiwutua.
No, you said something before.
Anka Sheka.
You are a dead man. You know, it's Indians that always use their hand to describe. They describe your condition before they get there. In Yoruba, how do you say this in Yoruba, please? Utiku. That dead. You have been doing it today. You have gone past. You have carried your Sahara past Masalachi. How would an evil person say? I'm looking for, there's a particular vibe that that captures. Tobe. How do you say? Thou art a dead man. You are dead. How would you say it? Help me. Help.
I think. Ahai, it won't go.
That was the language God spoke that day. Believe me. It has the stress patterns. You know, there's a way God talks to you. You will know you are dead already. Say, for thou hast taken the wife of a prophet. Esa, Egbomi. Do you understand the insurance God places on your family because of your obedience? Regardless of the lie he told you. It's you that say he lied. God didn't raise it. I said it was you that called it a lie. It was not an issue for discussion. As far as God is concerned, his prophet's wife is in somebody's house. And somebody is going to die. Do you know God struck every member of his family with sickness? And told Abraham to pray. Abraham doesn't believe he's a prophet. Oh. He doesn't. If you ask him, he's just a Christian. What you need to understand, that in every calling and gifting, it may be the same calling, but the operation might be different. Yes. So for Abraham, he was called as a prophet, but his operation was faith. Yes. Because the things God was saying to him, it will require more of faith to get it done. So he needed to be schooled in faith. So his operation was faith. Abraham can pray for you. You may not fall under anointing, but you will see results. If Abraham prays for you, Abraham prayed. Abraham was a prophetic intercessor. He doesn't know what it means to be a prophet. But Abraham can stand and be interceding for a city about to be consumed. He walked in open visions. Yet he didn't consider himself a prophet. He walked in open revelation. He never considered himself a prophet. But God was saying, you are taking the wife of a prophet. And God struck everybody in that family. And then said, Abraham, go and pray for them. Was it the king's fault? It was. He was looking at what he was not supposed to look at. He said, but you are already married. When Abraham got there, Mambra Shifalada, you are all healed in Jesus' name. The thing cleared. Abraham did, you know, those who are pointers to Abraham that should have told him, oh God, you are on a journey. Do you know that the same error he committed by going to Egypt was the same error Isaac also committed and went down to Egypt? Every time you see people going down, down. Samson went down. Isaac went down. Watch out for the troubles that come up after them. And Moses went down. Those stresses in scripture, they are not for accidental. And Isaac went down to Egypt. He lost his wife. It was the mercy of God. They would have slept with his wife, Dana, and that's the night she would have gotten pregnant. And the Baba himself, that is carrying prophecy up and down. I heard a man of God say, when God moved Sarah to begin to instigate Abraham against his maid, Agai, people only see the fact that she was aggressive. They didn't see that the woman had studied their pattern. That she was a woman who was now sensitive to prophecy. She knew that God had spoken to Abraham. She knew that if Sarah cannot give birth, the nearest in line will fall into the prophecy. She was preparing for child number two. There is something about people, spiritual hijackers. They know how to work with time. They don't waste time. They go into a territory. They want to take over. Yeah, they want to say, you know what we heard? We believe God. They move past you. You have to be sensitive. These people are not playing. They didn't come this far. It's as though they struggled into the space, but once they came in, they wanted to take over. So God moved Sarah. You will now see that when Abraham went to the Lord quickly agreed, send her away. Send her away. Now child number two. Now imagine only one Ishmael in the world today. Creating all the problem. We now have two. Two of Ishmael. We only have one. Oh. That woman knew what she was doing. She was a schemer. She knew what she was doing. She wasn't. It wasn't just a game. She was being coy. She was being deliberate. She all of a sudden she would say, "Abraham, sitting under the tree." I say, "Hi, how are you? Your hair is rough. Don't sit here. Come and sit here." The woman will be seeing it from the kitchen where she's mambara. This thing. No. This one is not accident. This one is not accident. Ah, Moti Shinkon. But I've done something. Ah, I put my own house on fire. Then she will see, you know, when you have lived with somebody for a long time. And Pastor Desmond, when we used to live together, we don't drink water with small cups. Because the energy will take to be refilling it. We buy a very big, somebody knows what I'm talking about. A very big jar. And those jars, they are not glass cups, they are big rubbers. Then one day my wife challenged her. I said, why do you always do this kind of stuff? Use the glass cup. She said, no. That's not the belly fool. That's his response. He said, no, the belly fool. Pour the water. So I want this one until this mountain come down. Then the water is coming down. Not what I'll be looking for. Give me water. Feel it. There's a kind of food when you are eating, you need to feel the water. That woman was deliberate. Spiritual hijackers. People that stay around you, but they are working against you. People that stay in the spirit realm the way you stay in the spirit realm. Oh my God. I was listening to a pastor. He said he was on the mountain. He had gone with a particular brother to pray. And they got to the mountain. He said, before we pray together, you go on the other side to pray. And he went on the other side to pray. He went to the other side. And they were praying. And then God tapped him. Oh, there. Stop praying. Say, oh God. Oh, I say, stop praying. You're a fool. Stop praying. Get up. Go and meet your friend. Go and listen to what he say. This one is private prayer. After we come around, God say, oh, there. Go and listen to what he's saying. He got to the other side of the mountain and heard his friend pray. Pull him down. He was mentioning his friend's name. Pull him down. Mentioning his friend's name. He didn't know till his friend got close to him. I said, Shay, you see your prayer partner. Yeah, go back and pray. You that you will not say fire. Yeah. Tell me what you are going to pray now. This one is not dream or vision. It's here with you. You will still come together and pray. When you ask him to round up, you will say, Father, everything we have presented before you, answer with fire. Spiritual hijackers. When you come into a new relationship, ask God to help you see the heart of that person. Stay away from people who want to control your life. Anybody that controls, you must be the one to give them that control. Give them the right. I cannot, for instance, force myself to be your pastor. You have to allow me be your pastor. Even when you share screen, for some of you know what I'm saying, in the office, you share screen with somebody in IT, you have to give them control. If not, they cannot access that system remotely. Watch out for spiritual hijackers. Don't just go there and pray. Oga. Some of you gave yourself to spiritual hijackers by discounting the visions and dreams God was showing you. And you didn't know that the people that were on your matter are eating the same. He said, the one who takes bread with me is the one what did Jesus say? That will betray me. Your enemies are not far from you. They can come in any format. For Abraham, it was his father. You didn't ask them to be your enemy. Some people find relevance in being enemies. My brother, except you are not on any journey to destiny, that you will not see what I'm saying. The day you become a threat to the devil, you will see what I'm saying. And Satan moved the heart of Judas. He moved out of there. He rose up and went to the temple. I can deliver Jesus to you. His mind was that Jesus would just do one anointing. People will fall down. He will run. When he saw that Jesus allowed himself to be captured, he said, because prophecy must be fulfilled. Watch out for spiritual hijackers. Jesus knew the ones amongst his disciples that were spiritual hijackers. He knew them. I said three very important things to you this morning. Number one, when God speaks to you, learn how to progress with that revelation. The next instruction will not come until you have made some effort with the first one. Number two, expect spiritual hijackers to follow you. You must be sensitive in the Holy Ghost to be able to make these deductions. Number three, nobody understands your prophecy like you. Number four, I have said to you, you can make deliberate progress with God this year by following the instructions in the Word of God. Bow your heads, let's pray.